Day at 5 on WEFT Community Radio, followed by See You at the Show coming up next. Stay with us after that for Lady Lynn Live at 6 p.m., Roots Rock and Reggae at 8 p.m., and Get in Your Jammies at 10 p.m. And now, here's this week's edition of See You at the Show.
At See You at the Show, we believe that creating our work and the opportunity to share it with you is a privilege. Our ability to gather in theater spaces and engage with perspectives other than our own is a privilege that we consider sacred. Because of this, it's important to us that we acknowledge both the indigenous land we occupy, as well as the hands that built the country and cities we call home. We acknowledge and recognize that we gather today on indigenous land, which was taken through deception, coercion, violence, and genocide. We acknowledge the continued displacement and oppression of Native people and honor their commitments to survival, identity, and the protection of our world. We acknowledge that the United States was built at the often fatal expense of forcefully enslaved Black people. We acknowledge those who still cannot safely walk down the street or fully enjoy fundamental civil rights and freedoms like going to the theater. We acknowledge that our Twin Cities and county remain segregated and inequitable, and we aim to cultivate space for Black stories to be uplifted and for Black lives to be celebrated. Linda Evans, who's been holding down the See You at the Show fort for so many weeks, it feels like. So, hey, I'm in the captain's chair again, but you have been the captain of this ship, Linda. Thank you so much for holding See You at the Show together in more ways than I could ever list, name. So on behalf of me, the show, the people who listen to our show, thank you.
It's a labor of love, just like...
You are laboring out of your love right now, trying to get a headset that works.
I have no headset that works.
I think you should.
I'm so sorry.
I think you should be in the captain's chair.
I should. No, I'm good. I'm kind of going without hearing anything, so you'll have to tell me if things don't sound good to you.
All right. I guess I have all the master controls. I can make things sound good.
You're in control. And it is October 13th already. What?
Wow.
So we're almost halfway through October, very close to someone's birthday.
True.
Is it okay for me to say that? I guess I've already started it.
Yeah.
Eric turns 55 on... I'm not allowed to say that. Ooh, I got a look.
No, I'm not out of like an ageist thing, but now people can like go on and like spoof my personality
soon.
He
turns 55 soon. I won't say the exact date. So is that better?
No, it's. I don't even know why I'm like so not caring about privacy and like 99% of the things that I do, and then suddenly I'm like,
right,
nobody.
That's so private. That's so private. Anyway, so we should all wish happy birthday, Eric.
Yeah,
a few days early.
It's
we
exciting.
Won't tell you
and
how
we're
many
having
days
a birthday
early.
Week. Kind of, we got to go to theater last night, which we'll talk about later in this broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to a show tonight. We're going out to the drive-in in Gibson City. You still have time to make it. The show 7 o'clock. Final summer. Labor of love for you.
Yeah,
our good friend John Eisberg has directed a horror film that's getting like tremendous national credibility and exposure, and it's going to be on the big screen fall movie out at Gibson City Drive-In. So that's where we're headed as soon as this thing wraps up.
Right. But before that wraps up, we've got a half hour of fun things to talk about today.
All right, you take the lead.
So I was lucky to talk to an actor with Theater 7 and Decatur's Community Theater. And we saw a Theater 7 show, what do we see? Noises Off.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Decatur Civic Center a year ago.
You know, first of all, they did an amazing job with Noises Off.
Uh-huh.
But I was not expecting that kind of a quality theater to exist at the Civic Center.
Right. I'd never been to the Decatur Civic Center before we went to that, and it's a good venue. And
it's a great venue.
Really big stage.
We compared it a little bit to Parkland, but I think it's bigger.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind's eye, it's bigger. But now I've just seen the Central Theater space today, and I'm just like, oh, my
God. Yeah, you'll have to talk about that later.
So let's talk more about Theater 7.
Right. So I talked to Connor Maloney, and he was sweet enough to give me an interview that had a lot of technical difficulties. So unfortunately, he can't be in the studio today because busy with the show and everything. But I'm going to try to recreate this interview, partly me here and partly him answering some of the things and recording. So bear with me. We're going to try to make this sound
I can't wait to see how
seamless.
This works.
It's going to sound seamless. See, with you here, it's actually more pressure. I did this with Kimmy's interview a few weeks ago, Kimmy Schofield. I did an interview with her, and she sent me her her answers, and it was, you said that you listened to it, and you said it sounded
great. And anyway, right. Linda, I've seen you fail so many times that you should really, it's kind of
wow.
I should be like,
there's nothing like wrong with failure. Actually,
I'm a comfort.
That's true. There's nothing wrong with failure. Failure is a good thing.
Right.
If we haven't failed, we haven't tried.
Right.
Right.
You can only get up 9 times if you fall down 8. Somebody said to me the other day. I don't really know what that means. That was the Central
that?
Golf Coach.
Oh.
You can only get up 9 times if you've fallen down 8. And that's really inspiring.
Sounds like a yoga.
So we'll see if this is one of the 8 or one of the 9.
Okay.
Go for it.
Well, We're happy to have Connor Maloney. Welcome to the show.
Hello, glad to be here. Well, this would be my second Theater 7 show, and I have done community theater ever since about 2020, I would say, because up until then it was just high school theater. I have been with 2 major theater companies out of the 3 that are around Decatur. And in all honesty, Theater 7 has just been the most, I want to say, professional around Decatur area. They're very efficient. They move rehearsals right along. And they also allow the cast to have really fun times.
Well, that makes me happy to hear. See, I think more theaters should try to have that good balance of being fun and being professional. And I think that's what community theater is about. Like, you want to have both. And I think it's much more fun when you can be professional and have things working really well. What have you done with Theater 7 in the past?
Theater 7, I did a little murder mystery dinner theater called Murder on the Menu just earlier this year. I want to say around June, July area. And funny thing was, we had a little competition at the dinner theater saying whoever can guess the murderer gets 2 free tickets to the next show. And my grandmother guessed right, and she got free tickets to Something Rotten. And I was just like, oh, well, I'm in that. How about that?
I don't know if I mentioned that Something Rotten was the show that Connor's in, but we saw Something Rotten in Peoria.
I love that show.
Early on in the pandemic.
Love.
Really loving the show. And I love that little tidbit about Connor's grandmother winning the tickets to the show that he was cast in next. So that's pretty cool. Also, Connor, can you tell me a little bit about your part?
Well, I am in the ensemble, which I know is perceived as kind of a quote-unquote smaller thing, but in something like a show like Something Rotten, you kind of need a large-scale ensemble anyway. Yeah, it's really fun because you get to just come up with, like, your own character. You can come up with your own character traits. You don't have to follow a specific structure, which is really nice. We also have some really, really amazing leads that the characters would be like Nick Bottom and his brother Nigel Bottom, who are kind of the leaders of their own troupe, who are essentially trying to be better than Shakespeare, considering this takes place in the 1590s, where Shakespeare is kind of the icon, Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley rock star of the time. And essentially, Nick goes to a soothsayer named Nostradamus and tries to figure out what Shakespeare's next big play is going to be. And his brother Nigel has this story where he falls in love with this Puritan girl named Portia. And Nick is also with his amazing wife, Bea. And all of these guys are played by some really, really talented people who I was shocked whenever I saw them just first at auditions. And it's been really fun, honestly, working with these guys.
So, of course, we never think that there's, like, ensemble is just important, as important, if not more important, than some of the bigger parts. So never, ever apologize for being part of the ensemble on this show. And can you tell me a little bit about what you like about Something Rotten?
It's essentially just a really fun show. It's funny. It's got some really great musical numbers. And this is my first show that's really specifically heavy on the dance, which has not exactly been my forte, I suppose. But this show has really given me and many other people confidence that we didn't even know was there. And they've really helped us with some amazing vocal directors who help us with different techniques on singing. We have some amazing choreographers who help us with our dancing. And of course, just the entire cast and crew, including the directors, assistant directors backstage. Everybody has been working extremely hard to make this an amazing show. And I have no doubt that everybody in the cast and crew is going to absolutely blow people away in these 2 weekends.
We talked a little bit before the official interview started, so I know that, Connor, you're a freshman in college. Are you the youngest person in the cast?
While I am 19 years old, I don't believe that I am the youngest, but I am not 100% sure. But if I had to bet on it, I probably am, because everybody else there is a little bit older than me with a lot more experience.
That's one of the things I love about community theater, is bringing people of different ages together. You get to learn about different people, and you come together as a family and a community in ways that you might not have ever met if you didn't have theater. Can you tell me what your favorite number is in Something Rotten?
My favorite number in the show, if I'm being 100% honest, it has to be the song A Musical. It's just packed, loaded, and full with tons of great references from Hello Dolly, Rent, A Chorus Line, Chicago, and just so many other beloved and amazing shows. And it's got some really great melodies performed by the amazing, as always, Nostradamus, who is being played by Nick Smith. Very talented guy who really just, whenever he's on stage, just takes over and runs the show, in all honesty.
One of the things I noticed when Eric and I saw the show, because we saw it for the first time together, is that I'm much more familiar with Shakespeare than Eric is. And so I got certain jokes that maybe he didn't get in the same way. I mean, he still thought they were funny. Are you familiar with Shakespeare, or were you familiar before the show?
I am somewhat familiar with Shakespeare. I know a little bit. I was, of course, in high school, I had to read stuff like Hamlet, Romeo and Juliet, and all those things. But I know a little bit, but not too much. I would say that to enjoy the show and the jokes about Shakespeare, there are some inside jokes that have to deal with, like, knowing a little bit about Shakespeare. But even if you don't know about Shakespeare, it's still pretty funny, the jokes that they come out with, because a lot of the jokes that they have whenever regard Shakespeare is mostly just pop culture stuff, in a way, or just general stuff that anybody would know. But really, when it comes to Shakespeare, he's not really joked about all that often. If anything, he's the one making jokes towards other people, and people are so like blinded by how cool and how popular he is to the point where they just laugh along with whatever he says, and they call him a genius.
So, what's next with you? Are you taking theater in college? Are you hoping to do more community theater?
I am taking a theater appreciation class in college right now. Fortunately, we're actually on a Hamilton unit, so that's pretty nice because Hamilton is sort of my thing. I would love to keep acting in community theater, and of course, as any community theater person, I would love to be on Broadway one day, but that's a big thing. So I would love to continue in just regular community theater, just acting, and one day I'd love to have my own backstage work, maybe directing some shows. In fact, my old high school is doing Mamma Mia, and that's coming up with auditions here right after the show, actually, right after we close Something Rotten. So that's going to be really fun to help with directing that, and I really would love to get into stage managing and directing and stuff, just as another thing separate to also wanting to be an English teacher.
So can you tell us your show runtime, and is it age appropriate for all ages?
I would say that the show runs probably for about, I want to say, an hour and 45 minutes or so. That's probably my best guesstimate. It does have an intermission between the song Bottom's Gonna Be on Top and Hard to Be the Bard, which are two pretty big numbers. So basically, both Act 1 and Act 2 end with, it start and end, excuse me, with some really big numbers to really get the audience and their attention and just grab it and just keep them invested throughout the whole show. The ages that Something Rotten would appeal to would probably be teenager to adult and up, because frankly, this show is not really meant for kids. It is not really kid-friendly. It's not exactly a Disney one like Lion King or Aladdin where anybody can watch it, and it's obviously not as well-known as some of those, but it is still a pretty big show in general. I would say probably keep your really young kids at home is my guess. I don't know if I should be saying that or not, but it is not a very kid-friendly show, in all honesty. But really, we just leave it up to the parents as to if they want to bring their kids to see it or not. Just be prepared for some crude humor and some foul language here and there, because it's, like I said, it's not like your grandma's Disney fairy tale.
Well, thank you again to Connor Maloney. We appreciate you, even with all of our technical difficulties, and you persevered. You took some time out of your rehearsal schedule to talk to us, and we really appreciate that. We don't cover Decatur as much as we do Danville and Bloomington, I feel like.
It's so off the corridor.
It's off the corridor. So it's nice to be able to plug Theater 7. And I know that we're going to talk about Decatur Underground in a future show. So definitely check out Something Rotten. It is opening the 14th of October and ends the 23rd.
Opens tomorrow then.
Mm-hmm.
What's the showtime? 7:30?
That's a good question. It doesn't
say. I wish we knew it. I don't know that there's any good. We don't have any good restaurants in Decatur.
I know. It's a 7:30, a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday it's at 2 p.m. Okay. We actually talked about that, but that didn't get recorded. So.
Yeah. Well, we did see Something Rotten, and that was the one kind of like during pandemic, during the summer of 2020, Peoria put that show on probably like exactly 2 years ago, because I thought it was towards the fall. We were kind of a little chilly.
And it was very early on. Yeah.
But it was... it was really cool. And the song, we're going to queue up. I have that song from Something Rotten, a musical, queued up for us to transition out of today.
So. But we should also talk about opening at Parkland, and I've been doing all the talking, so you get to talk now.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, we saw, last night we went to Parkland, and we actually thought this was going to be in the smaller theater, but this was in the big theater.
Yeah, I meant to ask Latrell why, because usually, I mean, that's great. I'm glad it's in the big theater. It needed to be in the big theater, I think
the way that this was staged and the way that it was set, it did need the space of the big theater, maybe. And also, I think they used the multi-levels that they created to show, at least I viewed that as being kind of a statement of moving up and power.
Well, did we mention what show we watched?
No, we haven't yet. We're just kind of alluding to things. Okay, right. This is, the name of the play is The Story. It's written by Tracy Scott Wilson and directed by one of the show's biggest fans, but somebody who See You at the Show is one of the biggest fans of. I know she likes us.
Yeah, Latrell's very supportive.
And so we got to preview it last night in the big theater at Parkland. The big theater has a name that I can never remember.
Minor Theater.
The Minor Theater. Because the minor-major dichotomy.
Exactly.
The Harold and Jean Minor Theater.
But I think you're right about, because they did use levels and also both sides of the stage at the same time. Latrell kind of told us, it's a ping pong, and that's kind of the way it is. It's people having one conversation on one side of the stage while somebody else is having conversation on the other, and those conversations overlap, but they're not in the same space. It's really amazing. The writing is impressive.
Did you take a peek at the script today?
I didn't take a peek. I should have, but the whole time we were watching it, I was like, ooh, I can't wait to read this too.
Right. So. Because it's not just that... So what I imagined when she described it as ping pong was that then, okay, there's going to be scene A on the left, scene B on the right, and it's going to go back and forth. But actually, there would be one character that was in both of those scenes. And it was real, and at least often. And it's even starting out, it was really cool how they showed the couple was driving in the car, and that's where an event happened, a crime happened. And so it was kind of a flashback. But then the woman who was a passenger in the car was also seated in a investigator's office. And so using lights and just using good acting and you kind of are doing two scenes at once.
Right. But this is a show that you have to pay attention the entire time. And it's not a very long show. It's maybe 70 minutes.
70 to 75 minutes. With right. Just one act.
And no intermission. And it was over quickly for me. I was just wow, I can't believe it was intense. And then it was done. So
yeah. I definitely, it was a perfect, dramatic ending, but I still was kind of wanting more. I wanted more of an arc of a few of these characters that I was just starting to know the truth about. No spoilers, I won't go further than that, but it really is, there are some twists. And I think one of the reasons that you can get so much story into 70 or 75 minutes is because of what I was just describing, where they're kind of doing two scenes at once. And if this were written more conventionally, you would see the couple in the car and that scene would play out. And then eventually later you would see her talking to the investigator.
Right. It's a really efficient way of getting multiple stories across, because it's called The Story. But in some ways you're hearing lots of different stories of different people and from different I understand why it's called The Story, but anyway, you get a little bit of everyone through different conversations that they have. Mm-hmm. So the development. Am I talking too much again?
No. I'm just thinking back because there's a lot of stuff I want to say, and I was writing down some notes in the dark.
Oh yeah, you have notes. Go.
No, nothing really. That's why I was trying to let your words take me back into the space, and because there are also some pretty significant racial elements underlying the plot and just the theme and the time. I mean, I guess it doesn't, you can go anywhere from, the 17th century to today, and it's always timely to talk about race. This was probably early 90s was
right. I think that's what they talked about was the 90s. Yeah.
Based on the computer that they had on the desk, that was the main thing that I got the feeling of. Definitely pre-cell phone. And there was You know, there is a lot about the element of race in the workplace, race in relationships.
And a lot about black folks and how maybe they think of their race and their blackness and their community differently. Like, not everybody's in agreement in this show about how they feel about race. And so it's not just about race with, you know, white and black, but also within the black community, how people see race.
Right.
Their own and others.
Well, and also then how one operates in a system that is unfair.
Right.
Because does that justify, essentially kind of like justify, I don't know, bad acts maybe, or does that justify misrepresentation of oneself? Does it justify kind of almost taking like affirmative action into your own hands? I'm going to act affirmatively to benefit myself because the system is inherently against me. And so these are just thoughts that they're layered throughout, and the cast is filled with people that I know, because I've acted with. I think we had three of my co-actors from SpongeBob, which was great to see them.
Yeah,
on stage
it was great
again.
To see them in very, very different roles.
Yeah, I think that Spencer going from Patchy the Pirate to like some, you know, kind of like very soft-spoken, mild-mannered
teacher,
right? Mm-hmm. That was definitely a twist. Excellence, very, very different, obviously.
Right.
Well, everybody's different than this, but it was a great role for Excellence, and just people that we'd never seen before. That Ashanti Lumpkin, who played Leticia.
I've seen everybody in the cast before.
That's fantastic.
Because you missed a few things at the station that they were in, but it's really a great cast, and you should definitely check it out.
Yeah.
How long does it run?
It runs through the 23rd. So tonight is technically opening night. It's Thursday night theater at Parkland. And it's, like we said, it's not long. It's very relevant. Anything Latrell directs is gold. I think this is the first time she's directed since her See You at the Show Globe winning Elephant's Graveyard of...
You mean at Parkland? Because she's...
What did I say?
No, because she...
I meant at Parkland.
Yeah, but no, right. She has... She directed The Tempest.
Right. It's her triumphant return.
No, she directed The Tempest between Elephant's Graveyard and this.
Tempest wasn't by Parkland.
It was at Parkland.
It wasn't by Parkland.
It wasn't put on by Parkland. Oh, you're right. It was C2C. Right. You're right.
I'm not just trying to make myself right. I'm trying to articulate what okay. I was trying to articulate.
Sorry.
And also trying to hearken back to the good old days of the Show Globes.
Right. It's funny. My Facebook memories are for the last like 5 years are of Latrell's shows. This is a good time of year for her to do shows.
Yeah. And I guess if you check out the Parkland College TikTok page, that will probably be a fun one. It was nice at the end of the show just seeing this is a really young cast. I think that not everybody's a Parkland student. There's several people who are actually on the staff at the U of I, but it feels like it's a young, very young cast, and they really seem to have taken Latrell's direction and energy and just brought it all into this performance.
And it's one of those shows that I feel like you could watch twice, and you should take a friend and discuss afterwards, and definitely check it out.
Yeah. I also meant to ask, because St. Joe Ogden High School was thanked in the program. My brother teaches there, and I wonder why that was.
Oh, right.
I wonder if they contributed something to the set. Maybe it's the computer. Who knows?
Maybe. And you can go see what's playing, because there's other things playing that we didn't get a chance to cover.
Right.
So go to seeyouattheshow.com, and we are semi-up-to-date. We're pretty up-to-date.
Yeah. We have some audition opportunities coming up, and next week maybe we'll talk about... CUTC announced what their first show of the 2023 season is going to be.
And yes, and we're going to talk about Coalescence has some interesting things going on this month too. Yep. So
here we go. We're playing out with what's opening at Decatur 7 Theater tomorrow, Something Rotten. And here is a musical. Stay tuned for what comes next.
Oh, musical, a musical. and nothing's as amazing as a musical with song and dance and sweet romance and happy endings happening by happenstance. Bright lights, stage fights, and a dance.